Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, and Steve Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. That's the email address, comments@afr.net. Got a 3 or 4 comments yesterday. Folks enjoying the program. Every once in a while, we get a constructive criticism, which we take. We will take constructive criticism. I don't know if it helps or not. Help us change our ways, but we'll read it.
I'm always open to changing my wicked ways, Tim.
Hey, we have got our tour of the Holy Land coming up in March, and we have exactly 11 seats left. So I suspect that will be filled up this time next week, maybe 2 weeks at the most. But so if you are thinking about going with us in March to Israel, it's March 12th through the 20th, and the itinerary and everything, you can print the brochure out if you want to on this website I'm about to give you, twholyland.com. twholyland.com is the website for all the information. So check that out if you want to be one of our final 11 participants. Yes.
I just wanted to make sure I got something in here real quickly. Are you done? Okay. Well, just looking, I mentioned our Today's Issues page on Facebook that we sometimes try to respond.
Sure.
And this is to Ruth, who asked a question and then put 4 or 5 please, please, please on. She said, will y'all please share why do y'all think President Trump isn't having court-ordered subpoenas to be issued to the Democrat candidates who have done horribly, horribly acts which are illegal and against America and so on. And I just wanted to try to answer that quickly, that the president doesn't issue subpoenas. That would have to either be
Attorney General.
The Attorney General could, but Republicans in Congress could have a hearing in the Senate, they could. And then they could, I'm assuming she's talking about the same kind of thing that Adam Schiff is doing in the House. Republicans in the Senate, if they held hearings, could issue similar subpoenas. So the president himself doesn't issue subpoenas.
Generally, the order of how things proceed is you have an investigation, and the result of that investigation may end up in subpoenas and legal action. They can subpoena someone to talk to in the course of an investigation, and we kind of assume that the IG or these other the Inspector General, these investigations that are going on in the background that haven't been leaked and everything, they probably have had some subpoenas issued.
Right. So, yeah. Ruth, I'm just letting you know that the 3 or 4 pleases that you had on there actually paid off.
Three? So, 2 wouldn't have.
Right.
Three.
So, yeah. We like our listeners.
This, too, about the president. What the Democrats are wanting to do here basically is expose the President of the United States, all his dealings with foreign leaders, all his phone conversations. They're going to want all this, I would suspect. That's what you know what I'm saying?
Right.
For public record. And so if he tries to put anything under what you would call top secret,
executive
classified.
Yeah, classified.
Then they're going to say if he does that he's hiding something.
Obstructing justice.
He's obstructing justice. That's what Adam Schiff said.
So we talked about yesterday, Tim.
Yeah.
We said, well, maybe what the president ought to do is say, fine, if the Democrats want access to all my phone calls, transcripts from all my phone calls with heads of foreign states, then what I'm going to do is I am going to make available all of President Obama's phone calls, all the transcripts from his phone calls, and we're just going to have all transparency. I like what you said yesterday when we were kind of kicking this around. President Trump should say, because the Democrats insist on this for transparency's sake, any phone call I have with a foreign leader about anything, perhaps a war. We're gonna show it on C-SPAN, and we're not right. gonna have any secrets anymore because that's the way the Democrats want it.
Right, right.
So most people would be horrified by that idea, but yeah. that's what the Democrats are insisting that President Trump do.
And the president said he said before, you can't do business that way.
Right.
You can't as a CEO of a country, every phone conversation you have be subject to the Democrats, critique or exposing that to the world.
No one's going to talk to the president. You're not going to have prime ministers and presidents talking to our president if it's going to be leaked or sent right. out with transcripts because right. you've got to be able to talk privately.
Yeah. All right, Steve, good morning to you, sir. Good what do you morning. Got leading us off here?
Let's start with a tweet that President Trump set out a rare. Few minutes ago. I know. It's this thing called Twitter.
He tweeted today?
He did. It's a thing called Twitter. Huh. You might not have heard
of it.
No,
but how many days has it been since he tweeted?
it's like how many days since an accident.
I'm sorry.
Right?
Did you mean to say how many times a day does he tweet?
Yeah, or how many hours has it been, right? Okay, so President Trump has tweeted. What did he say, Steve?
All of this impeachment nonsense.
You're quoting from him
now? I am quoting the tweet. All of this impeachment nonsense, which is going nowhere, is driving the stock market and your 401k down. But that is exactly what the Democrats want to do. They are willing to hurt the country with only the 2020 election in mind. And I say this, and he said this, because yesterday the Dow dropped about 500 points. As analysts say, the trade... there's a consumer report. Actually, it was a manufacturing report.
Yes.
We're off of manufacturing. We're not manufacturing as much as we did. And some people lay that at the feet of the China trade deal. But President Trump lays that at the feet of the chairman of the Fed, who is in charge of raising or lowering interest rates, and who President Trump thinks could do a better job of said management. Today, the Dow, as we speak right now, is off another 507 points. So we've lost about 1,000 points of the Dow in 2 days, and people are saying this isn't just a blip, that this could be the start of some bad economic news, which, as we just heard President Trump say, he's blaming the Democrats who are letting and allowing and wanting this to happen so that...
He doesn't get reelected.
So he didn't get reelected.
Yeah, Bill Maher famously said he hopes that there's a recession.
I actually have that sound, but it's buried in the middle of a whole bunch of other stuff, yeah. So we won't play it, but yes.
So that's the kind of folks we're dealing with, that they would sacrifice the economy short term to get the president
Well, they
out.
Think they're saving the world from
right.
President Trump.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that good news,
yeah,
Steve, that we may be headed for a recession. And now that you've publicly stated it, we can expect the Dow Jones to drop even further.
No, I think I'm going to say I believe in the strength of the economy. Actually, you know, the one manufacturing number was down, but analysts said that also had to do with the fact that GM, the auto workers are striking,
right.
has closed down a whole lot of stuff. That's reflected some in these numbers, but employment is still record high. Jobs still record high. There's a lot of strength in the economy.
And I'll say this. I saw someone on Fox yesterday who said that they believed that once this impeachment thing ends, if it fails, like mm-hmm. this person predicted, and if it looked like President Trump was going to get reelection, he thought China would make a deal. He thinks China is waiting to see what happens with the impeachment and whether President Trump is reelected. But if it becomes clear to them that he's going to be reelected, that they'll make a deal.
Yeah. Well, so, I've said my piece about how strong the economy is, and now the Dow is down another 25 points.
Your fault. Steve Jordahl, folks.
It's me. I know you guys played some Eric Holder yesterday about
one of his greatest hits.
President's Wingman and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
I wanted to play another one. I want you to meet the prescient, the seer, the... Prophet Eric Holder, who is now going to tell you what's going to happen for the 2020 elections. This is cut one.
Republicans are going to cheat.
Yes.
You know, they're going to try to, you know, keep people away from the polls. They're going to move polling places. They're going to do a whole variety of things that when we had a Voting Rights Act that was intact and a Justice Department that was concerned about it, we could prevent a lot of this stuff. But we don't have those tools now. So we got to be prepared for a tough fight.
Republicans are going to cheat.
This is the former Attorney General of the United States.
Yes, sir.
Making these kind of wild,
baseless charges.
A year before the election?
Yes.
He's saying the Republicans are going to cheat.
They're going to move polling places. I guess so that minorities can't find them. But first of all, if I was a minority, all right, and I am around this building, being Italian, I'll just say
that. Right.
But if I was a minority, that'd be kind of insulting. Are you telling me that the white people would be smart enough to find the polling place, but minorities can't look in the newspaper and find out where they're supposed to vote?
You know what? That's a bunch of garbage.
It is a bunch of garbage.
What he just said is a bunch of garbage meant to incite people.
Yes.
Inflame racial tensions. Already, before you even get to the election, he's saying, in minority communities, the Republicans are gonna move the polling booths away from you. You better watch out for that.
And let me tell you something.
And like that won't be noticed.
Yes.
By the media and everybody.
Yeah, right. And let me tell you something else. I've known plenty of dumb white people in my life.
Right. Why are you looking at me, Ed?
No, I'm not.
I mean, you're looking right at me.
Because I'm talking to you.
Okay.
And so let me tell you suddenly move the polling place somewhere else, they're not going to find it either. All right, so this is a ludicrous...
That happened last time, Ed. Didn't mean.
This is a ludicrous argument that is on par with saying that aliens are going to capture voters on their way.
Yes.
This is just a ludicrous argument from a supposedly intelligent man.
Yeah. Anyway, has there been voter suppression in our history? Well, there have been times when black folks couldn't even vote at all.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah.
Those are true injustices.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about reality here.
Right.
But he's saying a year from now, get ready, because the Republicans are about to cheat you.
And if we're going to kind of go conspiracy,
yeah.
I don't even think this is a conspiracy, but Democrats in California doing what's called vote harvesting.
Yeah.
Where they allow same day registration and voting on the election.
Right.
They change the laws.
Right.
And then they go out to neighborhoods and they say, hey, we want to register you to vote. And they call it harvesting. Now, technically, it's not.
They actually bring the ballot back to the. They didn't have to go to the poll.
They take it. And there was a lot of accusations that they were, well, what's to stop them from handing out $5, $10? Say, look, just vote.
How do you prevent fraud in something like that? Same day registering
and voting and going out to the street corner.
And you don't
have
to show an ID, right?
Well,
I know in a lot of states, in these liberal states, they don't even require you to show.
So if Eric Holder is really concerned about potential fraud,
right?
Why don't you say something about that? Well, because you think that helps the Democrats.
Right.
Oftentimes, those ballots are provisional when they're filed, if they're filed the same day like that. So there is
a still
little
counted.
Bit.
Keep in mind what Eric Holder is doing there when you heard those comments where he was criticizing William Barr for not looking objective.
Yes.
Not appearing objective. He calls him the Trump's personal attorney.
Yeah.
The man who said, I'm Obama's my boy.
And I'm his wingman.
We have that again?
I'm his wingman.
Steve, you may have missed. Yep. This was one of his greatest hits.
I actually put all these clips together before the show, so I've heard them all.
play Eric Holder, former AG.
Enjoying what I'm doing. There's still work to be done. I'm still a president's wingman, so I'm there with my boy.
Yeah.
This is the man saying Attorney General Barr should not be the President Trump's personal attorney.
And should not give the appearance
of
being not being an objective.
Right. Never heard
AG.
The president referred to as, quote, my boy. That's almost derogatory.
Well,
disrespectful.
I may get myself in trouble here. I mean, Eric Holder's, he's black, right?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that's just
I know.
The way black guys talk
I know,
to each
I know
other.
That.
Yeah.
I'm being facetious.
Oh, so you made me spell that out.
Yeah. Well, you call me dumb.
I did not call
you. You looked at me and dumb. You said, I've known some very dumb white people
in
my life.
I was talking to you about the issue of dumb white people.
Okay. Maybe
you
I'm
took
a little
it
overly,
wrong.
Maybe I'm a little overly sensitive. Okay. We've been going on 96.
Now, that's true.
We've
you,
been going
you're
on,
not dumb, but you are sensitive.
We've been going on 96 degrees a day for a month, and I'm tired of it. You hear me, Ed?
Yeah.
I said in good Southern English, I'm tired of it. All right. All right. What do you got, Steve?
Let us go now to our favorite.
By the way, fall arrives next week. I'm serious. Have you checked the weather?
No, I know. My wife was all over that.
We're going to get some 75, 76 days next week. Go ahead, Steve.
Sorry. Let's now go to our favorite congresswoman from Michigan, Rashida Tlaib. She got into a little tiff over with her Twitter account with the Detroit chief of police, whose name is James Craig. And she was talking about how this facial recognition system that many city police are starting to use to identify people. If they got a video of someone committing a crime, they run the face through facial recognition.
And it's not flawless either.
It's not flawless, but the police chief, Chief Craig, asked...
Himself an African-American,
asked Ms. Tlaib to come down to the station. He would personally show her how it works and what how humans intervene and make sure that they get it's corrected, have the oversight of this. Well, I want you to hear the restrictions that Rashida Tlaib thinks need to be put on this AI. This is cut four.
Analysts need to be African Americans, not people that are not. Because let me tell you, no, it happens all the time. Okay. It's true. Okay. I mean, I think non-African Americans think African Americans all look the same. I've seen it even on the House floor, people calling Elijah Cummings John Lewis and John Lewis Elijah Cummings, and they're totally different people. I'm just saying.
That's just true.
I see it all the time, and I love them because they, like, go along with it.
Well, I trust people who are trained.
I know.
Regardless of race. Regardless of gender, it's about the training.
But it does make a huge difference.
So. Every one of your analysts has to be black because white people, you know, they think us black people all look alike.
She's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, she's very hateful, too. She hates.
She is. What she suggested is patently illegal. You can't just say we're only hiring black people to oversee this facial recognition technology.
Mm-hmm. She's pandering, too.
Yeah.
Because she thinks the police chief is himself a black and he's going to high-five her.
Right.
And say, yes, you're right. We are only hiring.
But he didn't.
I know he didn't.
No. Kudos to him.
Yeah.
Because he said the right thing.
By the way, what's her name again?
Her name is Rashida Tlaib. His name is Chief James Rashida. Craig.
I always forget her first name. Congresswoman from Detroit, right?
Yes.
And
Michigan,
she is one of the, they don't call them the Fab Four. What do they call them?
The squad. AOC plus three.
Yeah. And
I personally nicknamed them the four horsewomen of the apocalypse.
Which might be good.
Yeah.
Three of whom you can name and one of whom you never remember. Just how did she make the team?
That's from Massachusetts. I can't recall her name.
Yeah. Well, every time she tries to get a word in edgewise, she's blocked out by
Ayanna Pressley.
Ayanna Pressley.
But, you know, Tlaib has, she has retweeted about racial crime or hate crime hoaxes the last year. I saw this. Four, do you have that story?
I do.
Times.
We listened to this.
Now, these were initially reported as true hate crimes.
Right.
But it became on, and so she retweeted about those cases, including Jussie Smollett, including this most recent example of the young
12-year-old African American girl.
I have all of these.
Okay. Go ahead, Steve. You're the.
Well, she jumped the bandwagon on all of these. These are four hoaxes that came out in the last 2019. The last one was, of course, Amari Allen, who is the young girl who said that her dreadlocks were cut off by three white boys that worked for Miss Pence's school, who went to school at the where Miss Pence tweets. She also tweeted out in support of the Jussie Smollett. And by the way, she said, when one of the most famous black and gay men in America is not safe, the message is clear. So apparently she thinks Jussie Smollett, who said that in downtown Chicago in the middle of winter, a MAGA people came and beat him up. And then she also said racist. This was a little girl who said that she was being subjected to racism A black Democrat lawmaker claimed in July that a white man told her in an Atlanta grocery store to go back where she came from. I'm sorry, not a child. It was a woman. And Tlaib says, you're loved, you're loved, you're loved, before it turned out that actually it was a woman that told the non-white guy to go back.
He's a Cuban, Cuban-American.
Right.
And but what you got is you got four pretty high-profile hoaxes.
Yeah.
And Tlaib supported the accuser without any facts coming out.
Right.
And then never recanted or right. never said, I apologize for sending this out. I should have waited for the facts to come out. She just left them standing.
Right. And I'll say this, on a couple of these hoaxes, what turned out to be hoaxes, the initial tweeter, which she retweeted, they came back and said, I apologize. I jumped the gun.
She's never
but
done that.
But she never would
right.
do the same
never
thing.
Never did that.
Right. So that's the kind of person you're talking about
right.
here.
Let's talk about, as we close here, let's talk about Chick-fil-A. The San Jose International Airport is deciding that they do not want Chick-fil-A in there because of the hateful beliefs, they say, of the owner, Kathy Truitt, and the Truitt family, who hold to a biblical stance on marriage. So instead of doing a law that said, oh, we don't want Chick-fil-A, they decided to pass an ordinance that nobody that works at the San Jose Airport, everybody, every business that works at the San Jose Airport has to be open 7 days a week. Well, who do you think that was
right.
aimed at? I talked with Brad Dacus of the Pacific Justice Institute, who's kind of looking into this thing. I want you to hear what he had to say about that tactic.
It's very obvious that they talked to their lawyers, you know, how can we be bigoted and not get caught? And what they decided to do is say, okay, well, they have to be open 7 days a week. That wasn't the issue. Everyone knows that was not the issue. The issue is the fact that Chick-fil-A is owned by a Christian family that believes in the Christian values. And because of that, they were being discriminated against.
And in addition to this ordinance, there is a Chick-fil-A there. They want it kicked out, and they have placed gay pride flags and transgender pride flags all around the restaurant, kind of to intimidate them out.
Yeah, this is a case with Chick-fil-A's already in the restaurant and is now up for renewal.
Yes.
For another couple of years or something like that. So they're trying to drive them out because they are the you know, these gay activists are the most intolerant people you'll face in
but
this
Republicans
country.
Will cheat in 2020,
well,
by the way.
Yes, that's right. Right. We've already seen
but
that.
But they also, the LGBT activists, again, not all gay and lesbian people are like this, but I'm talking about the hardcore activists
right.
who try to intimidate people and go after people who don't believe everything they stand for.
Right.
They're trying to prevent a chicken sandwich store.
Right.
Huh? From
yeah.
doing business in an airport when Chick-fil-A, what they're quote guilty of, according to these people, is they gave money to, first of all, I doubt most people who would be against Chick-fil-A don't even know, and I don't think there are very many, quite frankly.
Right.
I think a lot of LGBT people like chicken sandwiches, too.
It's the number one restaurant in the country.
Yeah. So, but they don't even know why they're against Chick-fil-A.
Right.
They couldn't articulate it. But the activists is because they gave money to the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and the Salvation Army.
Right.
They gave donations a couple of years ago to those ministries out of Chick-fil-A did, and that's the reason they're...
Both of those ministries hold to a biblical view of human
right.
sexuality and marriage.
And
so that means they're criminal enterprises.
Yeah. The owner was also asked in an interview what he thought about marriage, and he said he believed it
that
should be
between a man and a woman. That was
2012.
Yeah, 2012.
You better not ever say you believe in man-woman marriage.
Right. Or they're going to try to shut you down. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody, and you have a great day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.